Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That's the foursome. And join us right now to talk some Redskins on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's Redskins Insider for ESPN.com, John Keim. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
So the news of Dunbar wanting out, demanding a trade, that kind of took us by surprise. What do you think?
Yeah, kind of took us by surprise. So, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I think JP had a tweeted out early in the day that he was going to skip OTAs. So when you see that, then you know there's a next step, right? And then that's what you get later in the day. And I talked to somebody shortly after that came out, and they're like, you know, just hold on, I'll get back to you with some whatever more info. And it's like, okay, something's coming. So that by that point, I wasn't surprised. But going into the day, yeah. But, you know, and you look at the contract, I mean, he's a very good corner, but he's been hurt the last couple of years. So what do you do? But you can always understand a guy wanting guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm. Sure, of course. I get it.
So this is strictly a financial thing. It has nothing to do with the trainers.
And also, he saw what happened to Reuben Foster last year in camp.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and I mean, and yes, and that would, you know, scare any player, just like any injury would probably scare any player. You know, Alex Smith's injury should concern players too, you know, because it's a brutal sport and all that. But I think the Foster one resonates in his case just because it was a voluntary workout. And if you don't have guaranteed money, then what happens if you get hurt? So I think that's – and you're going into the last year of your deal, and you want to – it's your one chance that you're going to be able to have to really cash in on your performance. So I think that is a deal, clearly, is something that matters, resonates with him. You know, it's – I don't know. Here we are.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot, though. And, you know, so I'm reading between the lines in the quote he had. I don't know if it was with JP or with you or somebody. He said at the end of the day, he says, look, they don't know me and I don't know them. And I was thinking, what's he talking about? Well, he's got a whole new staff.
He's got a whole new staff.
So they don't know him.
Mm-hmm. No, this is a new staff. And it's, you know, you have to look at it like this is, you're in a somewhat different organization. You're just surrounded by a bunch of guys in the locker room that you know, but this has become a different organization. So he's right. They don't know him. They don't owe him. You know, this is not the group that signed him, kept him here, or anything. And I think that, you know, that's true for every player in that locker room, that they have to go out and still prove who they are, what they are, and their value to the team. And then if you're Ron Rivera on that side, you should kind of say, well, you know, these guys were, 3-13 with you. You know, I'm in my first year here. I don't need to just, you know, give in to any demands automatically. So it's a weird spot, but Quentin's right. I mean, you know, this is a different organization.
Well, yes and no, John. I mean, Rivera and his staff don't know him as well, but Kyle Smith knows him. Doug Williams knows him.
Dan
Snyder knows him. I mean, there are people in that building
right. And it's not. You're right. And but as far as like key decision makers, you know, whether it's the position coach, the guy with the power right now is Rivera, so he knows him too. And I think I'll say this, like, if Dan Snyder wanted him here, I think he would make it known or would have reached out to him, because I think there are others here who may be in similar situations with their contract or whatever that I don't think they're, I think they'd be more apt to do something with. And so if Dan really wanted him, I think that he could make it known, like, you know, this, yeah, we got to keep this guy. But, I don't know if Rivera, what he would say to that, because he did come here under the guy, you know, the belief that he'd have all this power. But, you know, if they haven't reached out to him, which is what I was told last night, then that's kind of telling.
Right. So what is the standard? So by what I'm looking at, he's got 2020 left on his deal, and then he's a free agent.
Right.
Typically with guys with his amount of experience, are they typically tendered some sort of, they're at least talking, that sort of thing? Like, why are we where we are?
Yes, you would think, yes, you would. Listen, if there was, like, genuine interest automatically, I think, yeah, you would know that by now. So they would have reached out to the agent. They would have reached out in some fashion, most likely. And I think the hard part here, though, too, is, you know, if you're a new staff, here's what you know about Quentin Dunbar. He's a good corner, but he's missed, what did he miss, like, I think 9 games a couple years ago and 5 last year. That's a lot of time. You can't, you know, can you really, how much can you commit to somebody in that situation? But I also think, you know, I think part of it too is not having had any contact. I think that's also part of the thing that that bothers his side, is there hasn't been any contact to even address the situation. So, in this kind of situation, if you really wanted this guy around, you would have had conversations by now.
What is his reputation, John? Like, is his reputation hard worker, does all the right things,
he's a good kid,
that stuff?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that with Quentin Dunbar that you know, I think guys would tell me would be just how much he studies and puts into it. I think he's the kind of guy, when you'd see all those whatever issues in the secondary, didn't usually involve 23, right? As far as, like, you know, him looking back at a safety and shrugging his shoulders, like, what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. He typically wasn't Dunbar doing that.
He has
a reputation for studying. There's a reason why he went from being an undrafted receiver to being a starting corner. You don't get there just because of talent. He's got the length, he's got the speed, that's good, but he does work. I just think that the hard part here is, you know, he hasn't done this over 16 games. I think that's what's going to give the Redskins pause as far as automatically just saying, hey, we want to extend you right now.
Right. Want to switch and just talk about the quarterback for a second. Can't talk to you and not talk about Haskins. I found it interesting, and I said to the boys yesterday, that if I was Dwayne Haskins, I might be a little bit pissed. I don't know. I might take it a little bit personally, at least, anyway. But Doug Williams always says supportive things. But, like, publicly, Doug is like, oh, yeah, the kid's got to be in here all the time. Yeah. They're riding him pretty good publicly,
right.
Which I think is interesting. Is there something to be said for that? Like, the kid really doesn't quite get it yet. He's got to be in the building.
I think they want to make sure that he does get it.
Yeah.
Whatever you're thinking is, yes, you know, if you're saying all that publicly, you want to make sure that he does get it, because that was, I know that, before that was
an issue.
Concern. But I think one thing with Doug Williams is that he has been very supportive of Dwayne Haskins, and he is a guy that Haskins has talked to a lot. I think his words carry weight. And I think one of the things that with Dwayne Haskins that you have to look at is that he does seek out guys like Doug Williams, right? And I think that's it. Robert was here, he didn't. And, not, you know, for whatever that means, he didn't do it, and Dwayne Haskins does.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good step for him. And my understanding, too, is by the end of the year, after a lot of, you know, talks or whatever, that he did start to get some of that stuff. So if that continues, then Dwayne Haskins and the Redskins will be in good shape. And I think they want to make sure that continues. That's why, you know, when you've heard Ron Rivera say, you know, he doesn't really want to commit to somebody until seeing what goes on through the spring, et cetera. And then you hear Scott Turner say, I want my guy to be first in, last out. I think they just want to establish what they're expecting from Dwayne Haskins and any quarterback, really, because you want any quarterback to be like that.
Right.
What about a backup plan to Haskins? What about, you know, going out and getting a, you know, established veteran? Maybe not a Case Keenum, maybe a little bit better than Case Keenum, but what do you think happens there? Give me a couple names you think are feasible.
Well, you know, it's hard to, because Alex Smith factors into this too. And, you know, I know, like, whenever you talk to anybody over there, it's, you know, I think they recognize that it's like, you don't, can you really count on Alex Smith coming back? I think the answer to that is no, because nobody's ever come back from this. But the phrase you always hear is, if anybody can do it, Alex can. And so I think you have to see where they feel. I think a lot of it depends on where they feel he is truly at. And you can't not address it on the hope that he comes back. I think, right. You know, based on,
you got to make that decision in March or April.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But because he's able to be there rehab and all that, you're going to get a sense of where is this guy really at. And I think we'll know where they think he's really at based on whatever moves they make at quarterback. There's, you know, a bunch of, you know, free agent type quarterbacks. And I think the Case Keenum level is probably what you'd be looking at. That kind of range, a guy who can start and a guy who can push Haskins enough to keep him, you know, on a certain path.
I'd be fine with him. If Case was the backup, I'd be fine with that. He's competent.
Really?
Yeah, he'd be fine.
I think the other thing with Keenum or whoever, you know, with for Dwayne Haskins is getting more around the quarterback, like, you know, improving the tight end, you know, getting another target opposite Terry McLaurin, a consistent target opposite McLaurin. Things like that will help no matter who is that quarterback. And, you know, so I think that's going to be a big key, as much as what they do as the backup is improving. They've known that for a while. The old regime, I think this one, they all know that they have to improve that, no matter who is at quarterback. But I think that's the level you'd be looking at, just because with Alex Smith, his salary is still, you know, it's going to, his cap hit is going to be over $20 million, and I don't think they would cut him at this point. But, you know, we don't know anything with that for sure, because I think there's still more to learn about his situation.
The thing with Alex is,
I'm just looking at the free agent list of quarterback.
Yeah,
you know, obviously the Breeze, Brady, Rivers, Bridgewaters, Winstons, they're not feasible. But
what
about Marcus Mariota? Yeah, I was going to throw his.
Yeah, I mean, those are guys that you would
rather have
too. I mean, that level, and you know, Mariota, at least, again, a guy who can start, you know,
has some upside, maybe. Yeah,
he can start, and in case Dwayne doesn't do anything, I think you also want a guy in here who is a legit threat. Just from the standpoint of to keep pushing, Haskins, you know, and that doesn't mean that, like, you have to think this guy's gonna start, but I think if you want the guy to be pushed, that's how you do it. You can't bring in guys that you say, oh, this, like, I know they're not gonna start this guy. You've got to bring in a guy who's capable of starting.
But then it looks
not
bad.
That he should, and because I do think this is all on Dwayne. If Dwayne, you know, when and I had for my podcast this week, I talked to a guy who covered him for ESPN, and he said he was in the quarterbacks, Adam Rittenberg. He told me he's in the quarterbacks room at Ohio State in like 2017, and he said that they were kind of, you know, there are quarterbacks, JT Barrett and Joe Burrow would kind of joke around with Dwayne about some of what he didn't know. And then when he was put in the position to have to know more and to do more, he did, and he flourished. So I think that's what he had, you know, I think that's what they're hoping.
He's just a kid
here
that needs pushing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and just, you know, and he's clearly talented. He's a smart kid. He is a smart kid. And I don't think with him it's ever been a matter of doesn't work. I think it's a matter of doing the work at an NFL level. There's a difference, and I think some people have to learn that. And again, I think Dwayne is a smart kid, so I think that's But I would, but you know, if you're the Redskins and you really want to see what he's going to do, then I think you'd want to have a guy in here who is capable of pushing that. I mean, that's, I mean, you should want that at any position, not just quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yep, Rivera wants competition.
That would look bad though for Haskins and for the team if they brought in a Mariota type and Mariota beats him out in the preseason. And I mean, you want the best guy to start, but if you drafted this guy at 15 and you're trying to build him up and he's the future and he loses out to an established veteran,
well, then you know he's not the future. That's the way I would look at it.
And, yeah. And you know, and I think what it also does, though, it puts him on a timetable that he was probably on originally. Mm-hmm. When they drafted him, I don't, you know, the thought was, I mean, the consensus was, man, was that nobody in that organization, or I'm sorry, let me switch it. Everybody that I would talk to in that organization was saying the same thing. You don't want to play him that first year. So that would mean that in that second year, is he really ready to jump into becoming a starter, or does he just still have more to do to get to that point? And I think that's, I think it would probably put him on that same path. You know what I'm saying? So I think you're right after the way he finished that you would, you know, that it wouldn't look great if somebody else goes out there and starts. But I think it also depends on what else is going on with that. Is, you know, it wouldn't be the best sign, but why is that the case? Is the other guy just looked really that much better? Or was Dwayne, did Dwayne not? I think the key is if Dwayne wasn't putting in the work that they wanted to see, that's the bad sign. If he was doing all that and it's a matter of him that's still not clicking yet because it's a second offense in 2 years, et cetera, then that's, to me, would be a little bit different. I think that's parsing some things there, but that's kind of how I would view it. But, you know, initially you would have to look at it like you do, like this isn't the best sign, but why is that the case? That, to me, would tell the story more.
Right. All right, John, got to run. This John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. Thanks a lot for joining
us,
pal.
You, John. Appreciate
Thanks,
it, buddy.
Guys.
Yep. All right, got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 7:45, we'll get into the proposed Major League Baseball playoff changes. But I wanted to get into the Quentin Dunbar thing. We threw it up on our Twitter page, at Junks Radio, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/thejunks. What do you do with Quentin Dunbar? And most of the responses seem to be, see, you wouldn't want to be.
Let him go.
Here's the deal with the Redskins defense. Last year, 27th in points allowed, 27th in yards allowed.
Right.
At least they're consistent. Quentin Dunbar had 4 interceptions in 11 games. This is their secondary in terms of corners. They've got Quentin Dunbar, who, according to Pro Football Focus, was the number 2 ranked corner.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't buy into that, but that's what Pro Football Focus had for Dunbar when he was on the field last year.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Josh Norman. We all know Josh Norman can't run.
Well, he can't be in the plans.
And gets burned all the time.
Going forward.
And he makes a lot of money, and he
right.
probably won't be in the plans. They yeah. haven't released him yet. They also have Jimmy Moreland, Danny Johnson, and Greg Stroman.
Very
they
thin.
Do not have
very
a
skinny and running at
secondary.
Corner.
And I think that's why you're seeing some of these responses, and we'd love to hear from you. 800-636-1067. What do you do with Quentin Dunbar? Eric hits us up on Facebook, says, guys always hurt, maybe had half a good season, doesn't deserve big corner money.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of agree with that. I can't see giving him big corner money. Tim writes, ignore and continue to negotiate. Your boy Mike Winslow said, is he Champ Bailey? Is he D'Angelo Hall? He's not. See you later, mate.
Well, he's not on that level, but again, this is a Redskins secondary that is pretty bereft of talent right now. And he's
so what do you do with Quentin Dunbar, Cakes?
I think I bring him in, I talk to him and say, look, we want you to be part of our plans going forward. We're going to work on a deal and, you know, it'll come together eventually.
Well, it depends on what they think of him. I mean,
yeah, like
their secondary coach knows more than Mike Winslow does about corners. And if he was rated pretty high amongst people who know the position and you really think he can play, well, then you work some deal out.
But
now,
if you
think there are better options.
If he's refusing to come to the OTAs.
Yeah, I get it.
And he's refusing to take your offers. Like, let's say you were negotiating with him and you decide, we're willing to give him $10 million a year. We think that's good for Quentin Dunbar.
Okay, if he doesn't
and he
want
says,
that.
No, but I want top corner money. I want $15 million.
All right, well, that's
well,
hold on.
Well, if he wants like Darius Slay money, then you say, you know what? You're not Darius Slay. You're hold not on that level.
But what I'm reading into this is that they don't even want to talk right now.
Right.
They want him to play this year. They're probably telling him, reading between the lines is, listen, we just want to see you play one more year, and then we'll talk. Mm-hmm. And I understand he thinks he's established enough, and he deserves more respect than that, so that's why we're at this impasse. It sounds to me like they don't even want to discuss a contract right
that,
now.
But what I'm asking
so,
is,
well, then
what
you can
would
understand
you
why
do?
He'd be so pissed
if
off.
I was
what
who?
Would you do right now? You're the Redskins. What would you do? Because when you're at that kind of impasse, it's potentially a Trent Williams situation where the guy doesn't play for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I understand Rivera's staff saying, well, we don't even know this kid. We know he's pretty good. He might be the best one on this team. This team's awful.
I understand where they are. What would you do?
It depends.
Well, what are the other options?
Well, you could trade him.
No, that okay, my well, option would be force him to play.
Right.
And then tell him, listen, if you play well, we're going to reward you.
Right. You can call his bluff that way.
Yeah.
Now, do you really think he doesn't have Trent Williams money in the bank. Do you think he's really going to sit out a year if you don't think he's going
he's
to?
He's scheduled to make about $3 million plus this year.
I didn't think
that's a
Trent
lot of
was
money.
Going to sit out a year.
I didn't think he would
anybody
either.
Here think Trent was going to sit out the whole
no,
year?
No, but he had $100 million to back it up, at least in career earnings.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know how they view him.
Right.
I mean, where does he stack up against the potential free agent corners that
they
would
view
be targeting?
Him.
Where does he stack up to the guys they might be targeting in the draft? We don't know.
No, but my guess is they view him as he's a good player, but we're not willing to commit to him yet because we don't know.
Right.
We don't know him.
And that could be their stance.
Yeah.
And if they do that, then he's either going to sit out or he's going to play. And you can understand why he's pissed off because
he
doesn't want to play the last year of a deal only making $3 million then get hurt.
Right.
And then his earning power.
He wants some
shot.
Security.
So what I think he needs to do is, if I was his agent, and you know, maybe you could play this game for a while, but I think privately you could set up some sort of insurance thing and you get him out there and you don't pass up this $3 million. Eventually, when the push comes to shove, you got to get out there and play.
Or maybe there's
you
a team.
You get some sort of insurance thing.
Or maybe there's a team out there that likes him and they could work out some sort of a trade and the Skins get something for him. They don't want to
I don't
pay
think
him.
They'll get good enough. I mean, he's probably their best corner, for whatever that's worth.
He is their best corner.
Well, and if he is their best corner, they probably should work out a deal.
Right. But they think we were awful with him, we're going to be awful without him.
Correct.
That's always the logic.
I think that's a big part of it. Again, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Jeff tweeted us, trade him, and now more than ever, trade the first-round pick.
Wow.
Because the thought of trading down, stockpiling picks, maybe you end up drafting corners. Again, this is their cornerback depth. Quentin Dunbar, Josh Norman, oh, I forgot Fabian Moreau, Jimmy Moreland, Danny Johnson, Greg Stroman.
You wouldn't classify that as a position of strength
it's
for
light.
The Redskins.
Yeah, but again, maybe this is just them, you know, taking their stance like they do with all these players. And if he's not a superstar, they're going to make him play out the deal. But if they really like him, I would think that they would sign him to a 3 or 4 year mm-hmm. deal. He would certainly take the guaranteed money over $3 million.
Sure. Maybe they see somebody in free agency they think is possibly an upgrade that they like better.
Exactly.
Or somebody they'll draft with their third round pick because they don't have a second round pick, correct?
Yes.
Right.
For the Montez Sweat deal.
As poorly as Josh Norman played this year, they just don't have many guys. Like if you cut Josh Norman, and it seems like they will save $12.5 million against the cap if they release him before June 1st. So I would say that's fait accompli.
There's no way they don't cut Josh
They
Norman.
Save a huge amount of money on the cap, plus Norman was getting torched on the regular. But if you get rid of Josh Norman, you just cross him off the list, and you lose Quentin Dunbar?
Yeah.
Your top two corners are Fabian Moreau and Jimmy Moreland.
Right. Then you have a real problem heading into 2020, if that's the case.
Well, come on. Use our heads. There's a plan. If they lose their corners, they're going to replace them. So they're going to target guys in free agency. They're not going to start Danny Johnson and Fabian Moreau. They'll go out and sign somebody or they'll draft someone.
True, but do you want to do that as an organization when you have a quality corner on your roster right now? A guy
again,
who you've developed.
Again, we don't know how good or bad he is. Fans don't know how good or bad he is. Fans who don't know anything about football have no idea.
Correct, but
we
know.
The coaches know how good or bad he is.
They do, but they
do. We have an idea. We watch games.
We know he's, and we know he's pretty good.
Football
we know he's pretty good.
Okay, yeah. But you don't know if he's making the right reads. You don't know if there's breakdowns behind him with safeties.
Well, that's always true. Yeah, that's always true.
We don't study the film.
It's always true, but we're just going to make a guess. Right, we got to make an educated
guess. The
guess is
he's not the best corner in the league, and he's pretty good. He's certainly not the worst, and he's someone who could help you, but he needs help around him.
I wouldn't be opposed to trading him. I don't really want guys who are unhappy all the time, and I don't want to roll the dice.
It's the first time you've ever heard of an upset with Quentin Dunbar.
True.
You've been around for 6 or 7 years. It's the first time I've ever heard of any sort of disruption. It's not like he's a chronic complainer.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ron Rivera. I don't know him. I don't want to deal with headaches. I want guys who want to be part of my plan.
So he wants to be a part of your plan. He just wants you to commit to him.
He just wants to get paid.
In his defense.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay him until I see him perform for a year.
Well, if I was him, I'd say watch the film. Now, what they're probably saying is, what John alluded to, stay healthier.
Right.
Yeah. I'd also
say, be more available.
Live up to your contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll watch the film. Live up to your contract.
Well, my response would be, okay, I'll live up to my contract, but I want some security beyond it. So I'll play for that next year.
And that's why I'm trading you. Yeah. I'm just saying, under this
era, he'd be fine with it.
I'm trading him.
He'd probably be fine with that.
Yeah.
Trade him, acquire some assets, cut Norman, and you draft a corner
somewhere. I always
think,
though, a known assets that is good is better than an unknown asset.
Players who are starters who are considered pretty good at their position, they don't like to hear live up to your contract.
It's probably true.
They don't want to hear that.
Right, but it doesn't matter what he wants to hear.
Live up to the contract. Okay, so I get hurt, and then next year in 2021, I got nobody who wants me, and I got my earning power
right,
shot.
Right, your damaged goods at that point.
They don't want to hear that. That's not the way the NFL works, usually. If you're good, they take care of you.
So what would you do, though, and under JP's hypothetical? What would you do if you're the Redskins? How would you handle it?
Well, I just said, I mean, give me an opinion of what they like or dislike about him.
They like him. They think he's a pretty good corner.
All right, then I give him a new deal.
Yeah, give him pretty good corner money, whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him top dollar, but
wants top dollar though.
Well, then you're in an impasse.
I offer him a deal, and if he doesn't like it, then I try and work out a trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I say, all right, if you don't like the deal, you don't like $7 million per year.
The problem is they're not even talking.
The top 20
corners. They don't even
want to
talk. That's the indication we're getting.
And maybe if they're not talking, they really don't like him.
The top 20 corners in the league average at least $10 million per year. Xavien Howard leads the league with an average of $15.05 million.
He probably is looking at these guys and going, I'm better than that guy, and he's making $10 million more.
Yeah. Well, he's playing alongside Josh Norman, who's number two in the league at $15 million.
Yeah. You can understand.
You know
his
that
beef.
Tilts him.
Yeah.
But if in his own locker
they
room.
They offer him a deal at $7 million per year. Is he going to turn that down?
I don't know, but they're not even offering.
No, I get that.
They're offering zero right now.
Right. So what's that tell you? They might not love him.
I think they
for whatever
just,
reason.
I think they just want to see more. It's
or
like, hey, we're all
new. Look, you take advantage of it. Hey, we got a player who's only making $3 million. That's our starting corner. Try that out for a year. Helps your cap.
Yeah. And they're going to call his bluff just like they did Trent.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the financial wherewithal, or at least I think it would be short-sighted if he just sat out. That would be really short-sighted because the career's short. He's only made $6 or $8 million so far. I think push come to shove, he'd play. And I think it's just a gamble that they're
going to. So you could call his bluff.
Yeah. But do you want him to be
just,
pissed off?
Maybe that's just something that's way down their list, and then they'll get to it when they get to it.
That could be also.
You know what I mean?
All right, let's go to John in Richmond real quick. Listening on 910 or 105.1 The Fan. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey guys, hey Junks.
What's up?
I see another player maybe leaving the Skins, leaving the nest. I've just looked at the Super Bowl, and Kansas City had two of our corners, or I mean, what are we doing? As I thought we were doing something different here now with the new coach and everything coming in.
By the way, everybody's now romanticizing the Bashaud Breeland exit from the Redskins. People couldn't wait for him to get out of here. And then all of a sudden he makes one play in the Super Bowl, and everybody is talking about him like he's the next Daryl Green.
And by the way,
it's so tilting.
I believe Breeland's interception was a gift.
Yeah,
in the Super Bowl.
It was just a flutter ball that he was able to grab near the sideline.
It wasn't like he came from behind a wide receiver.
Do people forget how maddening Breeland was here at times? Are people forgetting the game? I think it was against the Chargers where the Skins were getting boat raced, and he
they
brought back
forget.
A pick six and acted like an idiot in the game.
Well, it's like the same thing with Preston Smith.
Smith, forget all of that.
He didn't really do anything here. But then he went over there and he had some great year. But
now maybe you can blame some of that on Minuski. And some
maybe,
of the dogs
but he didn't do anything.
Coordinating the defense.
He didn't do anything. I couldn't wait for him to leave.
People couldn't wait for Bashaud Breeland to leave. Then he makes one play in the Super Bowl. One that I can remember.
And now they want him back.
And, Bashaud Breeland, I can't believe, we let him go.
All right, well, that's just a dumb fan talking.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them.
Okay.
It's not just one.
Well, they don't make the decisions.
I know.
The guys who know football make the decisions.
Sure.
So I think you'd have to trust
them. Should.
Trust the new staff. That's what I would say.
Trust
them.
Your trust in Ron Rivera.
If they don't think
and Jack Del Rio.
If they don't think Quentin Dunbar is worth a new deal, then trust it. Trust them. They know more than you.
They might just be saying, though, that we just don't want to deal with this yet. We're just settled.
Yes.
Let's just, you know.
Just because they know more than me doesn't mean they're right. Jim Zorn knew more than me. He sucked.
You're right.
Jay Gruden knew more than me.
And he sucked, and he's still better than you.
But they still sucked.
Well, I think they'll take care of this if they really, really like the kid. If they don't, he'll move on. And they'll move on from him.
Don't you got a silly read?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have a Jordan over there. Come on.
All right, give your child a first-class hoops experience and a first-class life experience. Coach Wooten's basketball camp is the spot. All right? Their goal is for campers to love basketball more by instilling confidence, teach the game, have fun. They teach all day, every day. 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ. They've got competitions, contests, guest speakers. 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference. At Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Register your child today. CoachWooten.com, spelled with 2 O's and 2 T's. CoachWooten.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we wanted to get back into something that we talked about briefly at the top of the show that surprisingly there was some passion in the room about, and that was these proposed Major League Baseball
postseason changes. If you're unaware, right now, five teams from each league make the playoffs. You're three division winners and then two wildcard teams. And then the two wildcard teams play in a one-game playoff. And then you get to the divisional round with four teams, and that's the way it works. That's not the way it always worked. That's why I'm open to change. Used to be just two teams from each league got
right,
played each other in the championship series, and then it was the World Series. But they added wild cards. They added a wild card game. Some people did not like a one-game wild card playoff. But here's the proposal by Major League Baseball. Seven teams from each league would get in. So instead of
essentially half the league.
Okay, but it's a two-team increase. Instead of five, it's seven.
It's four, but go ahead.
Two teams in each league, four total. Your top team in each league would get a bye. So whoever has the best record in the league gets a bye from the wild card round. Then,
which is huge.
Mm-hmm. There are three divisions, so there are two remaining division winners. The top team, division record, best record, would then pick their opponent from the bottom three wildcard teams.
Correct.
And then the next division winner picks their opponent from the remaining two wildcard teams out of that three-team pool. And then the top wildcard team gets whichever team's left over.
Correct.
So they are picking their opponents in the wild card round, and eventually it would advance the divisional round and feel like the same thereafter.
And by the way, this would all be televised, kind of like the selection show in NCAA tournament, where I don't know if players or managers or executives from each team would actually pick the team live on television on the last Sunday of the regular season. And they think that Major League Baseball thinks that everyone's going to watch it and everyone's going to get excited.
Well, you would watch it. You would watch it.
I just don't think they need it. I think this is a drastic change that they do
not
need.
I think it's a gimmick. I don't mind change in a lot of ways.
Gimmick.
I don't mind adding the teams. I'm fine with it. I don't like the gimmick of picking the team. I mean, it just, to me, it makes it more entertainment than it does sport.
By the way, it would be best of three wild card series instead of just a one-game playoff.
Which I like.
Oh, by the way, no, you wouldn't. Because I'll tell you why. Because if the Nats were one of the wild cards and had a better record than the division, like if they played the Cardinals, right? They had a better record than the Cardinals this year, but they were a wild card. Cardinals were a division winner. Mm-hmm. They would not be playing a home game.
I understand.
All three of those games would be in St. Louis.
I understand.
You
but
would
we just
not
won
like
the,
that.
We just won the World Series and we didn't even win a friggin' home game.
Okay, but you at least you had games you can go to.
Right.
I don't think fans would like that if they had to go on
but
the road.
But I prefer three games to one. I think one's too much of a crapshoot. I'd sacrifice
well,
that.
Well, you have. So there
I
would be
sacrifice
six
that.
Best of threes. It would be six best. So you'd rather have the best of three than the best of five.
I'd rather have the best of three than a one-game playoff. Isn't that what we're talking about?
Again, true for those bottom wild cards. But
yes.
if you're a division winner playing the wild card, you have a best of five. Wouldn't you rather have the best of five than the best of three?
I guess I'm just looking at it from the perspective of the team that scrapes in that only gets a one gamer. I hate that.
Yeah, I think the one gamer is exciting, but I can see what
it is exciting, but it's like the whole season down to one game.
Yeah,
I just don't have that much of a problem with it because, like I said, it's already changed a lot. That one gamer, all right, five teams get into the playoffs right now. If you don't win the division, you could have the second best record in the league. By far, but you just didn't happen to win the division because the best record is in your division, right? So let's say you're chasing the Dodgers, who always have an amazing record. You finish second. You're the Padres. You finish second. But then you're in a one-game playoff now.
Right.
Like this, I think you have a better chance to get through. And I'm telling you, the NHL has a wacky system. I just don't have that much of a problem with it.
I don't think it's fair to ask a team in a best of three to go on the road for all three games.
Yeah, I don't love that part of it. That
why
seems,
do they have to? Why are they on the road for all three games?
That seems like
that's
expedient.
The proposal.
Because if they want to keep the 162 games, they can't keep the travel where you have off days. So you'd be playing later in the year. So to keep it, so to keep the schedule condensed, you would have that team host all three games, and there'd be no travel.
Well, the baseball schedule is, I would never describe it as condensed. It's the longest thing ever.
Right.
Right. Well, if they had travel, it'd be even longer. So
that's fine. I mean, it's already long. What do you care if you play in the first few days of November?
I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to have to go on the road if you have a better record than the team you're playing, which could happen.
Right.
Wild cards can have better records than division winners. Happens all the time.
I don't. Here's why I don't hate it. Because I don't mind some chaos. I don't mind you throwing a little bit of chaos into the mix.
I want you to be honest.
All right, I'll be honest.
100%
honesty. 100%. You'll get it.
If the NFL said, we're going to expand by two more teams.
Yes.
And we're going to give the first, the best record, the Ravens, a bye. And then the other division winners can pick who they want to play.
Right.
And we're going to televise it. You would watch that and you'd be excited for that.
I would love it.
Oh, you're such a liar.
I'm being honest.
I told you to be honest.
I'll be honest.
You would not like it if the NFL changed their policies.
At first, I would think this is weird.
This seems hokey.
But
corny.
At the end of it, the team that gets the Super Bowl should be the best team. So they're going to have to get through opponents. All you're doing is kind of shifting around the opponents.
But why do you need
by
that?
By choice.
Why do you need to shift the opponents?
You don't need it.
Why are you endorsing it?
It's
you're
just
endorsing it.
Because it doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really bother me either. At 10 o'clock,
it seems like it bothers you.
No, I just think it's unnecessary.
It's just corny.
It's
like,
unnecessary.
Big deal if, all right, let's think about the playoffs this year. Big deal if the Titans didn't play the Patriots in the first round and they played one of the other teams. Would that have been that big of a deal?
Well, it could change the complete dynamic of who gets through.
Maybe, but the best team's got to get through anyway.
But that's not the point. Do you need to change the policy or the format?
You don't
need to change the format.
That's your opinion. Major League Baseball, here's the deal. Major League Baseball and the NBA are both thinking about making dramatic changes because they are looking at the changing demographics of the people following their sport. TV money's great. I understand that. But the people that are going to the games, there aren't many young kids who like baseball. It's the facts. I mean, my son's a sports fan, doesn't like baseball. Does your son like baseball?
None of my kids like baseball. Why would more kids watch if they changed the format?
I don't know.
The games are still
on
8:30.
They're grasping.
That's what Manfred is doing. He's just throwing crap against the wall every year. He's wrong. Everybody hates him. He's the worst commissioner in sports. He doesn't know what he's doing. The biggest problems in baseball, he's not addressing. He's doing goofy things all over the place. You got teams cheating. He's eliminating 42 minor league teams. He's a clown.
Look at baseball draft. No, he's very passionate.
He's just out of his element.
If Major League Baseball is going to argue that they want to change the format so they could have 8-year olds watch, they're lying to you.
Of course,
100% lying to your face. that's just not the reason. Now maybe they want to do it because they get the TV contracts re-upped and they get the partners excited for
trying to generate interest.
Well, then
I don't see why it generates interest.
You can watch one team.
Yeah, I don't know why that would generate more interest.
Good luck. But I think they do need to make a concerted effort to bring in a younger generation of baseball fans. Go to a Nats game. Go to any Major League Baseball game and look in the stands around you. What do you see? Bunch of old donks. It's just the facts.
Bunch of old donks watching baseball. Playoff games.
What happens when all those old donks aren't there anymore? Who's going to fill the seats?
I think Major League Baseball's still making money. I don't know why.
I'm sure they're still making money.
I don't know why they care.
For the time being, the 10-year-old's there.
In
30 years, when you know these kids that aren't watching or into baseball grow up, they're not going to all of a sudden, when they're 40 or 45, say, man, I can't wait to go to a baseball game.
What you're failing to realize is changing the playoff format and making six best of threes doesn't get the 10-year-old excited.
Maybe it doesn't.
He doesn't care about that.
Right. But you have to realize
now
if the games are on earlier
and they're not on at 8:30 or 10 o'clock, all right, maybe your kid can watch.
Right.
But the way the TV schedule is, it's not going to get the young kid involved.
The game could be on at any point.
Right.
This is just my kids. They're not going to sit down and watch.
All right, that's probably not going to change then.
But I just don't know many kids that are 12 or 15 or like, I can't wait to watch a baseball game.
My kids will watch, especially come playoff time, especially that.
Okay, you get caught up in the playoff. Yeah. But are most kids that are 10 years old going to sit down in June and watch a Nats-Mets game start to finish, or even for two or three innings? I would argue no.
Well, yeah, but hasn't attendance been up while ratings might be down? Hasn't attendance for Major League Baseball been up?
I don't believe so.
I think it's been in a steady decline.
I just said I don't know. Am I sure?
And again, baseball kicks maybe talking out of the bung.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it's been in a steady decline.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.